I tell you what, I enjoyed the Mighty Games there. Amen. That's a lot of fun. We'll have to do that again. Good old Mel, he's construction strong. You can tell Mel, I tell you what, that was awesome to see. I want to invite you, if you can, to open up your Bibles with us. And of course, if you have an app or something on a smartphone or tablet, feel free to use that. If you don't have a Bible and you'd like one, I want to encourage you and lift up your hand. And I know we got ushers here who can help get a Bible to you. Our goal with Mighty Men is to help us develop into the men that God has called us to be. And on the screens, if you can go to 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8, 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8, on the screens, we're opening up our Bibles to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 8. And as we mentioned, we want to develop into the mighty men God has called us to be in every arena of life. And one of the things that I want to make mention of before I dive into my message, I'm not going to go real long. We want these events to be fun and exciting and entertaining. And the greatest thing that you can do as a man is to come back next time. Just keep coming to these things. It'll sharpen you, make you better. But I was listening to a preacher preach this morning for my own devotional. He was talking on the subject of being a godly man. And I love a statement that he made. He said, so oftentimes when it comes to being a man or a godly man, we think that manhood can be earned or it can be found. In the sense, if I want to be a better man, I can work real hard and become a better man, or I can find manhood. But the chief way and the biblical way that manhood is supposed to be given to us is by bestowal. A gift that a man gives another man. It started all the way back with Abraham. God was looking to build a family. And the reason why he picked Abraham is because he knew he would train his children after him. And not just his children, but even his children's children after him. And the goal of that was for Abraham to instill his manhood into his offspring. And to have Isaac come after him out of his loins, and to teach Isaac how to be a man of God, a man of integrity, a man of honor. And Abraham did that right. He blessed Isaac. He taught Isaac how to be a man. He taught him how to be a man who loved God and was a strong family man and also a strong provider. Isaac then imparted that to his son Jacob. Jacob then imparted that to his sons, particularly Joseph. And you see this continuation of manhood being passed down from generation to generation. A father passing on how to be a man to his son. And when that son grows up and become a father, he passes on to his son. And men just grow stronger and stronger. In fact, our job as men is to take it a step higher than our fathers took it. I'm thankful for what my father did. He taught me how to be a man, but I see in his life areas that I could even grow off of and build off of. And then I look at where his father was, and I see how he grew off of what his father did and took it from there and saw areas he could improve and improve those areas. But manhood being passed down from generation to generation. And friends, what has happened in this society is we've got society, especially women, coming to men and say, be a man. You need to be a man for this family. You need to be a man in this relationship. And honestly, men want to. We want to be better, but so oftentimes they don't know how because they never had a man ahead of them bestow manhood to them. And friends, I want to encourage each and every person here. This is why we put on these events. Is maybe you were in a situation in your life where you never had a man instill in your life how to be a godly man, how to be a man who takes care of his family in each and every way, how to be a man who takes care of the kingdom of God in each and every way. One of the most impactful services I have ever been a part of is when I was talking along these lines, talking about how Abraham called Isaac to him, laid his hands on his son and blessed him, empowered him to be the man that God had called him to be. I was talking about the power of the blessing, a father coming into his son's life and blessing that son with wisdom, blessing that son with love, blessing that son with instruction, blessing that son with a divine empowerment. And I asked the men at the end of the service, I said, if you've never had a father bless you in your life, you've never had that experience of a man coming along beside you and helping you be the man God has called you to be, I want you to come down to the altar. And friend, I kid you not, when I gave that altar call, 3/4 of the men in that church, of this church, this was about 5 years ago, 3/4 of the men came down to the altar. They never had a man tell them that they could be a good man. They'd been told to be a good man, but they never were told that they were a good man. They never had anyone believe in their ability to provide, no one to bring out their gifts and talents. 3/4 of the men in a Christian church that preaches the word had never had another man come in their life and say, you can do this. You can be a good husband. You can be a good father. You can be a good provider. Is it any wonder that it seems as if our culture is drifting away from the principles of Christ? It's because you have men who are searching for themselves. And friends, I want to encourage you to do two things. I already did one. I'll say it again. Come to these events. This is what these events are for. This is what discipleship that Andre's heading up is for. This is what Power Up is for, is men coming together so iron can sharpen iron. That in each one of these events, something gets bestowed unto you, imparted unto you, that enables you to be the man God has called you to be. Manhood is not found on a corner. If it was, everyone would find it. We wouldn't have men acting like boys. It's not found, it's bestowed, it's given from one man to another. So you gotta come to these events. We're making them free so you can come. And what's so awesome is we had 400 people, over 400 men sign up to be here this. I don't know attendance, but we had over 400 men wanting to come out to this. We beat the ladies. Friend, in what church does men wanna come to church more than the ladies do? That's awesome, guys. That's awesome. We've got one department in this church that's almost a little overstaffed. You know what it is? It's the usher team. And I thank God that other churches have ushers and women ushers and all of that. That's a great thing. That's an awesome thing. But I'm thankful we've got enough men in this church who love God that, friend, we've got an usher team full of men serving people, waiting on people, empowering other men. That's an awesome thing. So friends, I want to encourage you, keep coming to these things. Each one is designed to bestow unto you a gift. Paul said, I desire to see your face, that I may perfect some things concerning you. And each time when you come to these events, I desire to see your face so that together you can help me and I can help you be the men God has called us to be, bestowing gifts to each other. And then the second thing I want to encourage you in is with your own kids, especially your boys, your sons, no matter what age they are. As a father, it's your job to bestow unto them manhood, to come by them and walk with them in life and tell them, let me show you how to be a man. To say, hey, you may have seen in my life even how I missed it. Let me tell you why I missed it. Instruct them. Because what our society needs is strong Christian men who are willing to stand up and be the men God has called them to be. What I want to talk to you today is about how to be strong economically. There are so many men today who would say, if I just had a little bit more money, it would solve a lot of problems. And friends, I want to show you through the Word of God that God wants to empower you, not just as a person, but particularly as a man. He wants to empower you to be able to prosper, where you can not only provide for yourself, but also provide for your family. There's a scripture in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8. It says, but if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than a sinner. Notice he's talking to us men. God is talking to us men. And he says, I want you to be providing for your family. And we know we're to provide love, we're to provide direction, we're to provide instruction, but we're also called upon by God to provide for our family economically. Friends, when we read this, so oftentimes it can go to one or two extremes. The first extreme is men beating themselves up because they feel like they haven't been providing like they should. Don't fall into that rut. Instead, understand that God is not going to give you any commandment that He is not also going to empower you to fulfill. The sheer fact that God says if you don't provide for your family, it is sin. In fact, it's worse than a sinner. It's like an infidel, someone completely away from Christ, means that He will empower us to prosper and will empower us with the ability to provide for our family. It seems as if religion, especially with men, has sucked out the economic guts out of them and made them into a falsehood of the men God started with. Friend, when the Bible started, it started with men. It started with Adam in the garden, given an empowerment by God to take care of his family. Then it went on to Noah. God blessed Noah with an empowerment to take care of his family. While all the families of the earth were lost, a man stood up and was able to take care of his family. Then it went on to Abraham. And Abraham, I want you to understand this. When we read of these great heroes of faith, these are not preachers. These are not pastors. These are not teachers. Our great heroes of faith, they are businessmen, friend. Abraham was a businessman. Isaac was in business. He wasn't a preacher. He was a businessman. Jacob was a businessman. Joseph was a businessman. And when God was starting this whole kingdom out, his whole walk out, establishing a nation of the earth, he helped them succeed in business. I don't know why this hasn't been taught like it should, because the reality is, as long as you think that God has called you to be poor, you will never be able to do what the scripture calls us to do and recognize that it's our job to leave an inheritance, not just for our kids, but our kids' kids. Meaning that we are blessed so much financially. No, God doesn't want you covetous. No, He doesn't want you loving money. No, He doesn't want you out there cheating and doing whatever it takes to fulfill the lust of your own flesh. But He does want you blessed. He wants you provided so that you can be a blessing to your wife, your family, and your kids' kids. Friend, I'm telling you, God wants to take care of you. And I want you to learn from the lives of these men. We don't have time to go and look at them, but read your Bible. Don't just listen to a preacher. Read your Bible, just the book of Genesis, and watch how God was establishing a people. He found a man who would raise his family right, who was committed to his family, and then he prospered the mess out of them economically. And rose up a nation out of one man that could fend off other nations because it had so much power. Friend, I'm telling you, do not be ignorant concerning this. If you're in business today, it is an honorable profession. And God wants to bless the work of your hands so that you can provide for your family and help fund the kingdom of God. There's a scripture here in Deuteronomy chapter 8. I want to read to you. In fact, it's several scriptures. And let's go here in verse 6, Deuteronomy 8 and verse 6. It says, therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of waters and fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees, of pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness, and thou shalt not lack anything in it. Now we're going to keep reading, but I want you to see this. God was talking to his people, his children, his men. And he was saying, listen, I want to take you to a place where you're not lacking nothing. Where there is no scarceness of what you need, and you're not lacking anything. God was saying, this is where I want to take you. This preaching that God's will is for us to be broke and not be, it's from the pit of hell, friend. Friend, I'm telling you, it's from the pit of hell. It takes money to preach the gospel. It takes money to be good to your family. It took money to buy this microphone where you could hear my voice. He's trying to stranglehold the men from being the men that God called them to be. The first thing God told his man was have dominion. Go out there and take over the world. That's why that's in us. Don't let anything take that out of you. Now watch what he says here, because we see the warnings coming up. He says, a land, verse 9, where thou shalt eat bread without scarceness, that thou shalt not lack anything in it. A land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. And when thou hast eaten and are full, then shalt thou bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Notice there's the first warning. When you are being blessed financially, when you see the blessing of God coming from your hands, what's the first thing that you're to do? You're to go back and bless God and say, you're the one helping me do this. It's not I'm so talented. It's not I'm so smart. I glory in the goodness of God. He says in verse 11, beware that you not forget the Lord your God in not keeping his commandments, judgments, and statutes which I command thee this day. Here's the second warning. Don't go out there and forget God. And not only don't go out there and forget God, don't go out and forget to read your Bible. Forget to come to church where you're so busy at work that you forget to come to things like this. No, get in his word. Verse 12 says, lest when thou art eaten and are full and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply. Let's just stop right there. What type of house did it say that they would be living in? A good house, a goodly house. Then he goes on and says, and when your flocks and your herds are multiplied. We may read that and it skips right overhead. Friend, I'm telling you, don't let it skip over your head. The reason why he said flocks and herds multiply is that's the business that everyone was in. And that day, the business that everyone was in was either in agriculture, raising up food, or by taking care of oxen and sheep and cows and all of those things, having herds or being a landowner. So in the Old Testament, you see God saying things like that. I'll bless your oxen. I'll multiply the fruit of your the offspring of the cattle you have and all of that. That's God saying, I'm going to help you in business. That was their business, was the business of cattle and herds. And notice he says he wants to multiply that business in verse 13. And thy silver and thy gold is multiplied. And in case you didn't think it applied to you, and all that you have is multiplied. Notice God wants your business multiplying. He wants your bank account multiplying. He wants all that you have multiplying, increasing, prospering. As a man, this is God's will for you. In verse 14, he says, then thine heart be lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt. Once again, he's giving a warning. And this is where the love of money comes in. God wants to bless us with money, but when we start loving it more than we do him, chasing it more than we're chasing his commandments, that's where it turns evil. But friend, money in and of itself, it is not bad. In fact, in the Garden of Eden, when he created gold, he called gold good, just like everything else he called good. Gold, money, is not bad. If it gets in the hands of wrong people, whether it's a preacher who's manipulating tithes and offerings to get more money, or if it's a businessman using that money to fund wrong things or to live a lifestyle that's lavish upon himself and not do anything for anyone else, then yes, it can turn bad. But fire is an awesome product. It can heat your home. But can it turn bad? Sure, if it gets in the hands of crazy people. There are many things that in and of themselves are not bad, but if they get in the hands of wrong people, then it can turn bad. And this is what God was saying. As a man, I want to bless you. As a man, I want to multiply you. As a man, I want to increase you. But when that happens, don't forget me and don't forget the statutes that I've spoken unto you. Now let's keep reading here. He goes on to say in verse 14, then that heart be lifted up and forget the Lord your God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, led thee through the great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents, scorpions, and drought, where there was no water, who then brought thee forth water out of the rock flint, who fed thee with in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee and that he might prove thee to do thee good at thy latter end. But, and thou say in thine heart, my power and mine hand hath got me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he who giveth you power to get wealth. Why would God give you power to get wealth if he didn't want you to have any? He does want you to have some. He wants to provide for you and provide for your family. That's why he's given you the power to do it. But notice this next verse, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore unto your fathers. Who's their fathers? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God had a covenant with them, And his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob was this: if you will take care of me, and if you will serve me all the days of your life, then I will take care of you, and I will bless the work of your hands. I'll multiply your flocks and herds. You won't have any scarceness, and you won't lack anything. You don't forget me, I won't forget you. You take care of my covenant, I'll bless you to be a blessing. I'll establish my covenant with you. And friends, I'm telling you today, we are the seed of Abraham. And God wants to do the same thing for all of you businessmen. And people say, well, I'm not in business. If you're out working a job, you're in business of some sort. No matter what it is, you are in business. God wants to help you do that business. He wants to honor and bless the work of your hands so that you are well provided for and you are providing for your family more than enough. God's got a covenant with you. In fact, at the end of Joseph's life, now remember the legacy. First you had Abraham, then you had Isaac, then you had Jacob, then you had Joseph. All of them were prosperous men. All of them God blessed. And all of them were people who God recognized as heroes of faith. Every single one of them were prosperous, wealthy men who loved God and weren't ashamed of it. All of these men came after each other, all of them businessmen, and Joseph had two sons that came out of his loins, Manasseh and Ephraim. Manasseh, and I wrote it down in my notes because I oftentimes get them confused, but let me turn over there. Manasseh's name means God has made me to forget and brought spiritual strength. Ephraim's name means God has caused me to be fruitful and given me economic creativity. Whenever the even Jews to this day, when they're blessing their children, they'll bless them in the name of Manasseh and Ephraim because they see God's will for this boy of mine, and this includes you and your sons, is to, number one, be steadfast spiritually, that God can cause you to forget all your old life, all the old stuff that happened to you. Because remember Joseph's life, he went through a number of different things that could have upset him. But he said, God has caused me to forget all of those things by giving me strength spiritually. They'd bless him in that name and say, be strong spiritually. And then they turn right around and say, be strong economically. God wants to make you fruitful, bless the work of your hands, and give you economic creativity. And friends, I'm telling you, it has not changed today. Well, somebody said that was the old covenant. Yeah, I thank God for it. You know why? Because in the book of Hebrews, it says we have a new covenant established upon new and better promises. The reason why we have a new covenant is because it's better than the old covenant. It's better than what Abraham had. It's better than what all these other people had that we read about in Genesis. That's why it's new, because it's better. All right, I got to establish that in you first. There's nothing wrong with having money. And there's nothing wrong with asking God to bless you economically. Nothing wrong with it at all. It is His will to do it. That's principle number one. A second thing is this. There are a lot of people in here who have that belief. If you do, awesome. If you don't, stick around here. We'll go over enough word to where you can't argue with it. Well, somebody said, what about all those other scriptures? Those are warnings for prosperity. A woman is not a bad thing, but you read Proverbs, guess what you see? All types of warnings about women. Why? Because if you get around the wrong one, it can hurt you. But you find the right one, you obtain favor from the Lord. There are warnings about money, just like there are warnings about wisdom, about women. Friend, God wants you to have the right money, just like He wants you to have the right wife. You got to know how to operate in His kingdom, though. And this is how you do it. If you make money God's way, friend, I'm telling you, He will bless the work of your hands. But if you try to do it an evil way, a wicked way, a twisted way, you will be trying to provide for your family without the blessing of God. God's got a way to prosper you. And His way is this. On the screens, if you can go over to 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 in the Amplified. 1 Peter 4, 10. In the Amplified. All right, if you can pull that up for me. God has given every person in here a gift. For some, you've got more than one. And what I mean by a gift, some people call it a talent, some people call it an ability. There are men in here who have a gift to work with their hands. Whether it's construction or able to build things or paint things. I mean, they gravitate towards it and they can pick it up and produce excellence quick. There are other people in here who are blessed with a musical ability and they refine that gift. There are some people in here who are blessed with being a details person. And they see details and they love subjects like math and that makes them excellent in accounting. There are other people in here with natural ingrained leadership abilities. It's a gift from God. And yes, you can grow as a leader, but there are people who have natural qualities, gifts from God that God has blessed them with. And that makes them fit to be managers or politicians or whatever it may be. But here's the thing, friend, God has given you a gift. That gift is for two things, and don't you ever forget these two things. That gift's for two things. Number one, that gift enables you to serve your fellow man. And you need to get this in this order. That gift enables you to serve your fellow man. My gift, when I use it properly, is designed by God to serve you. Here's where the world misses it. When you go after trying to use your gift just to make money, and you forget about using your gift to serve your fellow man, you are operating without God in your endeavors. God has given you a gift, and the first reason He's given you a gift or gifts, there are people I know who are multi-talented in a lot of different areas, but God has given you that gift or gifts to serve your fellow man. Let's read this scripture in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 in the Amplified. It says, as each of you has received a gift, a particular spiritual talent, a gracious and divine endowment. Employ it, why? For one another, as befits good trustees of God's many-sided grace. Faithful stewards of the extremely diverse powers and gifts granted to Christians by unmerited favor. Now let's just stop right there. As a child of God, a son of God, God has given you a gift. Why has He given you those gifts? To serve your fellow man. He's given it to you so that you may employ it for one another. And be a benefactor of good trustees of God's many-sided grace. God's given me a gift. I'm to employ that gift for your sake. If my gift is studying the Word of God, seeing things in Scripture, seeing truths, and then having the ability to communicate it orally to you, I am to do it for your benefit. I am to do it to serve my fellow man. I am to do it to improve the quality of your life. And here's the awesome thing about the body of Christ, is that we each have a gift. Your gift was designed by God to bring value into someone else's life. Here's what I mean by that. Think about if you were Adam and you first woke up in the garden. If you wanted food, you'd have to go out and pick your own food, bring the food to you. If you wanted it cooked, you'd have to cook your own food. When he realized he was naked, when he sinned, he needed clothes. Well, if he wanted clothes, guess what he had to do? He had to make his own clothes. If he got hurt in some way, he had to be his own doctor. If his tooth hurt, he had to be his own dentist. If he wanted grape juice, he had to squeeze his own grapes. As society began to expand out of Adam, God started endowing people with gifts, specialties. And the reason why we have those specialties is for each man to serve his fellow man. Think about it. If you wanted food today, and we're going to eat Chick-fil-A, we've got Chick-fil-A box lunches when everyone leaves, aren't you glad you didn't have to go get the flour and the barley and make your bread and go kill the chicken, pluck the feathers, fry the chicken, get the pickles, cut them up? We had someone do that for us. A gifting is used for that reason. You have a gift to serve your fellow man. When it's done right, it adds value to someone else. I value Chick-fil-A. I'm grateful for their product. In fact, our next speaker is the owner of the Chick-fil-A out there on Lakeland Drive down the road here. But my point is that God has given you a gift to serve your fellow man, to improve the quality of your life. When you want clothes, aren't you glad someone else made your clothes for you, that you didn't have to learn to knit and do all of those things? If you want a cover for your bed, aren't you glad you didn't have to knit a bed sheet or knit a comforter? You were able to go buy it. Why? Someone had a gift. Someone used that gift. They put that gift out to serve you, and then you in turn paid your money for it. This is how God designed society to work. Each person working with their gift, serving their fellow man. That's the first part. The second part of your gift is this. When you use your gift with excellence, and you use your gift with that motive to serve your fellow man, to improve the quality of their life, friend, God's slap gets all over that, blesses it, and he will bless the work of your hands. When it comes to money, and I've been a pastor for a long time now, almost 10 years, when it comes to money, every man is seeking to try to get rich quick, schemes to try to make money quick. Friend, God gave you steps, not miles. The step of a good man is ordered by the Lord. When it comes to making money, it is not hard. There are steps that when you take those steps, it may not seem like it's leading to prosperity overnight, but as you take those steps, guess what God will do? When you do the natural, God will do the supernatural. Just like the people who had leprosy outside the city gates, they said, why are we sitting here until we die? Let's at least go confront the enemy. And when they started walking towards the enemy, just taking steps, God got in their steps, multiplied their efforts, and man, they got, it seemed like prosperity overnight, but all they did was take steps. What I'm telling you to do today, I promise you, it is not hard. And it doesn't seem like it's way out there. That's a good thing. What I'm giving you today is a step. And I'm telling you, when you take this step, God's anointing and his power will get in this step and bring economic success your way. We have a gift to serve our fellow man. And when we use our gift under that motive, it leads to me being able to more than provide for myself, my family, and the kingdom of God. Where I'm walking and living in overflow because God has guided my steps. What is it, friend, then why aren't people succeeding? Well, number one, most people and most men, they never work with their gift. A lot of people have never found it. You cannot serve me like you should serve me until you find your gift. I'll put it to you this way. I have a gift with doing this. I am not good with my hands. I could serve you by trying to help you paint your house, but friend, I'm telling you, I would do you more harm than good. It's not my gifting. My, but if I get up here and I can use my gift right, that's where my greatest impact in serving you is going to come from. When you have a motive to serve your fellow man and you use your gift to do it, use your gift with excellence, economic success will come your way. Watch this. If you can pull up that scripture again and go to the next part of it, there was another part there, the next verse. It was 1 Peter. Yeah, go to the chapter or verse 11. Chapter 4, verse 11. Whoever speaks, he's talking about using your gift. Let him do it as one who utters the oracles of God. Whoever renders service, let him do it as with the strength which God furnishes abundantly, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, dominion, forever and ever, through endless ages. Amen. So be it. What he's talking about here is God's given you a gift. When you use that gift, you're employing it to serve your fellow man. And when you serve your fellow man, you have no excuse not to do it with excellence. That whenever you use your gift, you're not doing it to make money. You are using your gift to serve your fellow man and to bring God glory through that service. And what has happened today in society, but especially with Christian men, we're using our gifts. Some of us have found our gifts, but we're only thinking about making money. And that is a dangerous thing. If you will use your gift to serve your fellow man better, money will take care of itself. I'll give you, for instance, and this is a small example. I like coffee. I'm a coffee drinker. There are a lot of coffee shops in and around my house that I could go to around my local area, but I will drive all the way over into Fondren to go into Cups to meet with this one barista who every time he makes a coffee, it is like he has made his last. He takes care of it. He furnishes it. I mean, he employs his gift with excellence. This guy's a coffee master. And guess what? I'll pay more for that. And he's never asked me for a tip, but I value his service, and I tip him good. Well, what would cause me not to go over to the other people? It's Cups, the branch I go to in Fond. There are other Cups, but they have people there who are working with the same machines. The exact same machines who receive the exact same training, but they don't care about how it's made. The only thing they care about is taking your money. And whenever you encounter a service like that, let me ask you, do you go back there? No, you don't. Why? Because it's a spiritual principle. When you don't use your gift to serve your fellow man, your economic success will dry up each and every time. As soon as a company starts thinking about making more money than to serve their fellow man, it dries up. But if a company will think, how can I serve these people better? How can I employ my gifts that are on my staff better for the members of the people of this church? How can I do that? How can I serve them better? Friends, I'm telling you, economic success will take care of itself. You know, I was reading an article the other day in the Wall Street Journal, and it was talking about this CEO who laid off, I think it was 1,300 people in one day. And on the same day, he increased his pay by about five times. And man, I tell you what, they were giving him the right act, and they should have. Why? He downgraded and didn't value a spiritual law. He was working to only make money and to not do what was best for the people who were under his care, to employ his gift to serve them where they could make more money too. And guess what happens? He's going to get fired. And we look at that and we read that and we think, oh man, these rich guys doing that type of stuff. But how many people do the exact same thing in their own occupation? I'll give you an example. I've got internet service at my house, phone and internet service. My internet service went out. So I call up people, call up the internet service provider. I talk to them on the phone literally for 2 hours before they agree to send a technician out to my house. The technician comes out to my house, and guess what he does when he gets there? He tells me that it's not anything wrong with the product, it's something wrong with the way I'm trying to use it. And I'm trying to tell him, this is not my first rodeo, buddy. I'm familiar with these types of things. I know this thing works. But he's in a hurry, he's ready to get done. All he wants is to get paid and go home. He's got a gift, but he doesn't want to use it to serve me. He's just thinking about taking the money and leaving. So he finally says, well, you know what, you're right. And he gives me a new modem, sets it up. But the modem's not pulling the speed fast. It's not I pay for high-end speed. It's not pulling it fast. They run the speed test, all of that. And he tells me it's just the time of day. Just the time of day. At this time, there are a lot of people trying to say, all right, all right. And he leaves. Very next day, it won't work at all. The thing won't work at all. Get back on the phone with them. They agree to send someone out to my house. This person, I asked for 5 to 7. About 7:30 or so, I get a phone call from the service saying he's running a little bit late. He'll be there in a minute. Just keep waiting for him. So I'm waiting by my door, waiting for this guy to come. He never shows. Finally, it gets at 9 o'clock, and I decide I better call these people because I don't want this guy showing up while I'm trying to go to bed. I call them, and you know what they tell me? The guy said that he came to the house, knocked on the door, but no one was there. You know how I know that was a lie? I was sitting right by my front door the entire night waiting for him. But why did he do that? Did he have a gift? Yeah, he has a gift. But he didn't care about using it to help anyone. He only cared about taking his money and going home. And there's a reason why with that type of behavior, you will never prosper God's way. That is not something that God can bless. Because when we do a service, we are doing it for the glory of God. And we are to employ our gifts, our callings with excellence. Friends, listen to me. Business is honorable. It is honorable. You know, people would go complain about making money. Business is honorable. Why? Because when you're in business for God, you're concerned about serving your fellow man. If you want to increase God's way, I'm telling you, here's a step. It's not the only step you can take, but it is a step. Recognize you have a gift. You have a gift God's given you. Recognize it. Understand it. And when you go out and use that gift, ask yourself this one question. How can I use it to add more value? Somebody said, I don't have customers. All I have is a boss. Well, when's the last time you asked yourself, how can I serve him better? How can I serve her better? How can I come and say, how can I make your life easier? I want to serve you. I've got gifts. You want a ticket for prosperity? Find a problem and be a problem solver. Go in there and use your gift to fix a problem. That makes you irreplaceable. That manager will see that. He'll see we can't lose this guy. And if you say, I'll put it this way. If you walked in your employer's office right now and said, I'm quitting, would he fight to keep you? That's just heaven dancing because I'm preaching so good. Don't worry about that. Now, let me ask you this honestly. If you walked into your boss's office and said, I'm quitting, would he fight to keep you? Or would he say, no, don't quit. What do you want? What do you want? How much more money do you want? If he would do that, it means you're adding value to him. If he walks away, though, and he's excited that you put in your resignation, something went wrong there, friend. The way to make more money is to increase the value that you add. I got a guy who came out to my house, had some doors that I needed some work on. He comes out, and when he comes out to examine the doors, this is the opposite side of good customer service, he realizes that there's not a door in my house that has a door stopper. So without me telling him to do it, he comes and asks me and says, hey, can I go buy the hardware? If you'll give me the money to go buy the hardware, I'll buy the door stoppers and put them on for you at no extra charge.
So he went out and did it. And guess what? There were other projects that when I needed done around the house, I called him to do. Not only did I call him to do it, but I paid him more to do it. Why? He added value to my life. I paid him more than he asked for. Why? He was adding value. And the next time I call him, I want him to move me up first. It's things like that that God will prosper. When you work with excellence and give God your best, God will give you his best. But if you're shortchanging your employees, you're shortchanging the people who are paying you a service, friend, I'm telling you, God has nothing to work with. God will bless the work of your hand, but you gotta put your hand to it. When you show up to work, you give it your best each and every time. You use your gift to employ a service. What is your gift? What's the gift that God's given you? That's your ticket to prosperity. Why? Because you'll never add more value to society than by using your gift. You could add value one way, but you'll never add more value than what your gift has enabled you to do. What is your gift? Find it. Some of you know what it is, but you've never done anything with it. It's like the parable that we read about on Sunday morning, that Jesus was telling a parable about a man who had three servants, and to each servant he gave them a talent. To the man who had five talents, he took his talents from 5 to 10. The man who had two took his talents from 2 to 4. But the man who just had one went out and buried his gift. Didn't do anything with it. I was talking to Jesse Mitchell, the guy who was the captain for, I think, the red team. I took him out to lunch. Jesse was a professional football player. Signed by the Baltimore Ravens, was a defensive tackle star for Ole Miss back in the day on Eli Manning's team. I was asking him, I said, Jesse, I know you were around guys who were five-star talents who signed with Ole Miss. They got a gift that the whole world recognizes. They have extreme athletic ability. I said, Jesse, how is it that a lot of these guys, when you see the recruiting ratings, they never do anything? You know what the answer is? They don't want to do anything. They want to show up and play. They want to just show up and walk on the field. And when they get to college, they realize that's not enough. Because everyone there has physical talent. In high school, you had a talent that was good enough to bring praise your way. But when you got to college, everyone there was on a scholarship. It wasn't enough to just show up. You better show up and bring your A game, not just to the game, but to practice if you ever want to see the field. And friend, that's not just the way it is on the football field. That's the way it is in life. You got a whole lot of guys that just want to show up and collect a paycheck. No, friend, when you show up to a place that employs your gift. If you say, well, no one employs my gift anywhere, that sounds like a great idea for business right there. If no one's employing the gift, it means the gift is designed to be employed, and it's a market that is craving for it. Employ your gift. Maybe it's starting your own business, but in some way work with your gifting. When you find what your gifting is, then you got to do what the man with 5 and 2 talents did. You got to perfect it. You don't just show up with natural gifts and expect it to be good. You got to start perfecting that gift. I sat down, I'm hiring a young man just out of high school, hiring to help with the grounds and maintenance here on the church staff. And I told him, I said, now look, you're starting out at a low salary. And I said, this is why you're starting out at this salary, because that's how much it would cost to replace you. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm not trying to be ugly. But just the matter of the fact is, if you said I'm quitting tomorrow, I could take this same salary and hire someone just like you to do this job. I said, now the goal, though, is not for you to stay at this salary. The goal is for you to expand beyond this. But I said, what you have to do to make more money is increase your value. What will you do to prove to me you're worth more than what I'm paying you? I said, it starts with natural things. For instance, when you're out there cutting the grass, you get an hour lunch break. But if you say, hey, the grass is too much to cut today, I've got to bleed over into that hour, and instead of going to go get a lunch or coming back without an hour and staying out an hour and 5 minutes or an hour and 10 minutes, I said, take a 30-minute break. Take a 30-minute break, eat your lunch, and then for the other 30 minutes, cut that grass. And I said, if you didn't do that, It wouldn't get you fired because you're doing your job description. But if you want to be worth more to me than what I'm paying you, you got to go beyond your job description. Get the work done. And so he's writing it down. Yeah, I'll come in. I'll show up early. I'll stay a little late. Whatever it takes to get the job done. What does that do? It increases his value. It shows character. Because then I see he's not like any other teenager who will show up and just work like. When we were building this facility, just to find someone to sweep the floor, we had to fire 3 people before we could find someone out here. Why? They just wanted to show up and sweep, but they didn't care where they swept it. They didn't care. It was just sweep. So I'm sweeping another. Well, they'll never look under here. Just sweeping it up. Friend, I'm telling you, no matter what you're employed for, do it with excellence and God will bless it. So I told him, if you want to increase your value, I said, listen, you have a gift. I see this kid not working in maintenance for the long run. I see him helping with praise and worship, helping growing in that area. And I know he's got a gift there. I said, now listen to me. If you decide to go this career route, and not go to college. You don't have to go to college to be successful. If you use your gift with excellence, you'll make money. College can help you use your gift with excellence, but it's not a requirement. But I told him, if you go this route and not going to college or to get any special education for your gift, that does not mean you can just show up and never develop your gift. If you want to keep increasing, learn the skills that you need to learn to bring out your gift. If it's music, learn how to write music. Learn how to read music. Learn how to pick up another instrument. Learn. Jay, the guy who's our music team leader, he can play the keyboard, he can play the drums, he can play the bass, he can write music, organize music, train music, develop a praise and worship like we have on Sunday morning with not one paid employee. They're all volunteers. That's a gift, man. He saves me money. He saves me money. Why? Because if he couldn't do it that way, I'd have to hire someone else to help him. But no, he executes his gift. And you know one thing about Jay, he's always learning. Why? He's expanding that gift. So I told this kid, look, you got to in one way or another work with your gift and then develop it as much as you can. What are the pieces of knowledge you need to work with your gift? Friend, I'm telling you as a pastor, I started out raw. Raw as a public speaker. I went to seminary for 1 year, but friend, I'm telling you that wasn't enough. And I recognized very quickly, I can't just show up and have this thing work. I better bust my tail when no one's watching. I better spend more money on books and materials than I do on furnishing my house. For over 2 years, I didn't buy one piece of furniture. Why? I'm perfecting my gift. You go and look at my house now, look at my office now. I got books everywhere. I read over 7 books a month, listen to over 48 CDs a month, even at this stage of my life. Why? I'm trying to perfect my gift, to serve my fellow man better. Like today, I don't get any money for doing this. Guess who paid for the $100 Dick's card to Dick's Sporting Good? This guy. I paid money to be here. Why? I'm not doing it to make money. I'm doing it to serve my fellow man. But if I serve my fellow man, I know the money will take care of itself. That's why we put on the event for free, to add value to you. What can you do to add more value? Serve your gift. Serve with your gift. And use it with excellence. And then here's the last part. Believe that God really will do for you what he did for Abraham. When you see Abraham's life, you see a guy just moving with God, walking with God. But friends, I'm telling you, at the end of it, you see that God took his simple steps, multiplied it, until this man was literally more financially strong than some nations. And then he passed that covenant on to all the way to Jacob. You know the nation of Israel? You know where that came from? The nation of Israel, a whole nation. You know where that came from? Abraham. Abraham had a son named Isaac. Isaac had a son named Jacob. Jacob then wrestled with God and said, I won't let go until you bless me. And you know what his blessing was? He changed his name from Jacob to Israel. When it says the children of Israel, it's not talking about people from a place. It's talking about people from a person. Israel is a person. That whole nation rose up from one businessman God took and blessed his socks off economically, where an entire nation could come out of him. Friend, I encourage you, God will do the same thing for you, but you got to take the steps. This is not the only step, but it is a huge one. Find what your gift is. Work with your gift with excellence. Never do anything but your best with your gift. And then thirdly, do whatever it takes to improve your gift to make yourselves more valuable. If you do that, your gift will make room for you. Your gift will promote you. Your gift will bring you before great men. Your gift will provide for you financially. Your gift is your power to get wealth. Every head bowed. Let's pray. We'll bless the food in this process too. Father, I thank you for these men. And Father, I thank you that we bless them just like Joseph named his children. Father, I thank you that you bless them where they're steadfast spiritually, immovable off their Christian walk with you, growing in their relationships with you, growing in knowing you and knowing your word. And then, Father, I thank you. You bless them with economic creativity. Let them awaken to what their gifts are, and then let them serve with their gifts, their fellow man. Father, as they take these steps, I thank you that you not only allow them to take these steps, but as they do them, turn these steps into miles and let them succeed financially greater than they ever have before. Let them prosper according to your word by giving them the power to get wealth. We thank you, Lord, for it in Jesus' name.